Hello there, Simon Indelicate. Just popping in before we start the podcast properly to tell you about the Diseases of England Part 4 DLC downloadable content, which is available right now for £5.55 from Corporate Records at corpor.at/A360. It features four brand new songs properly recorded. They are Indelicate's canon, if you will, plus 10 of the original demos from Diseases of England. This kind of completes the package into the large album in our EasyJet style way of trying to monetize all the additional bits of the album. It's like, you know, if you get those David Bowie albums and then like you get the album and then you get sort of the best songs like Velvet Goldmine are kind of stuck on as bonus content. That's what this is. It's that for the album, only you have to pay for it. Because we have got no money at all. We spent all the money. Quite a lot of it we spent on making this. So yeah, I don't know why we've done that. Anyway, that's available now, as I say, corpor.at/A360, or we'll be posting about it on Facebook and Twitter and so on. It is the Diseases of England Part 4 DLC, £5.55, available right now. And here's this week's podcast. Enjoy.
Podcast.
This is the extent of the introduction we've got for the podcast so far, as we just shout podcast. Because for a while I was trying to do it in the style of Van Morrison.
And how's that going?
It just took too long. Because I was just sort of playing the Van Morrison chords. You know, the Van Morrison chords. And making stuff up about podcasts.
Now we're doing a podcast in my house.
I have a passionate dislike of Van Morrison. No, that's not true. I don't mind Van Morrison, but I think quite a lot less of people that really love Van Morrison.
See, I don't really love Van Morrison, but Van Morrison has a kind of special place because I used to spend a lot of time with someone who did really love Van Morrison, and it was always on. And so now when I hear Van Morrison, I romantically feel like I'm in a bedsit in Brighton planning a poetry revolution, and you know, there's a kind of doomed pointlessness to it that I enjoy.
It's just that most people that bang on about astral weeks are twats.
Yeah,
that's my main issue.
TB Sheet, that's a good one.
I don't even know that.
Well, it's just a song about, I'm just, well, you know, it's mainly about gardens being wet with rain and stuff, but also about coffee. Yeah, that's mainly what they're about. Yeah. Gardens with rain on them. But it's also about TB and being speckled with blood from people coughing up blood from TB on their sheets.
More interesting.
Yeah. I was reading about how he didn't, you know, the famous one, the brown-eyed girl. Yeah, the contract he had with that, he saw no money for it, and it's one of the most lucrative songs of all time, and he earned nothing from it.
Yeah.
So good, fuck him. Chris is delighted, I imagine. Chris Hodges is here.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
What does Chris do?
Chris is a singer and performer and writer.
That's what I am.
That's what you are today, sir.
Cool.
He's a very good one, I think.
He's a very good singer. He also sung on the Book of Job, the musical, which some of you have probably heard, and plays Job.
Mm.
Yes.
Poor old Job.
He is the lead in it.
He is the lead.
Because he is a better singer than me.
Yeah, we sing a little duet, don't we?
We do. It's dead romantic, isn't it?
You are better than me.
That's how it goes.
Because he's got, you know, he's got like a proper voice.
He's got one of those voices, hasn't he?
Yeah,
a proper one.
You call
that
me?
Is good. What? Yeah, but like in terms of like, who wins in that duet, I would say you do.
Really? He's supposed to. He's the lead. You're the lead actress.
I'm the airy woman.
Are you airy? You're not hairy. That's not in the script.
I'm the airy woman.
I'm not really sure what that means. What do you mean?
I don't know.
You're just an airy. You're just admitting.
I thought that'd be a good like dance hall, not dance hall.
Well, you know, you're quite
old fashioned dance hall song.
In what fucking dance halls are you going
to?
I'm the airy woman.
I haven't had a shave.
I've been having an affair.
I've been eating pickles and I've never had to bathe.
That is lovely.
I thought you couldn't write songs. You see, those will not pass approval.
That's not that different.
It depends on the context, surely. If you end up doing the old musicals, which is only a matter of time, surely.
Absolutely, it really is where we've been going for a while.
Probably completely wrong recording of an older lady, whose name I won't tell you, who I worked with for a little while. And she
Yeah, to preserve her dignity after you secretly recorded her with an iPhone.
Recorded her with an iPhone, yeah.
But you know, dignity is important.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing. She's like an alcoholic and difficult person. But you know, in that way that alcoholics who are functioning and working a job will continue to kind of like treat as a jolly thing someone else who's an alcoholic. They're kind of like, oh, she's fine, don't worry about it. You're like, no, she's not fine, she's a massive alcoholic and this is a serious problem. They'll kind of do that, especially in England, it's like a real thing. Mm. Anyway, she was playing the out of tune piano where I work, and she said she'd play me something. And so she started playing.
Do you work in the Ten Bells in 1892?
Yeah, I may as well. And
careful of that Jack, he's a wrong'un.
Yeah, he's a wrong'un.
Don't go with him, Mary Kelly.
Yes.
Is it too soon? I don't know, it's quite a nasty murder. Yeah.
But anyway, so she said that she would play me a song, and she started playing me Memory by Andrew Lloyd Webber. No, where's Memory from? Is it from Les Mis?
It's from Cats.
Cats.
So it's basically
all alone in the moonlight. Only she couldn't really play or sing at all. And so she played, I've got this recording of her playing out of tune. Like, like this. And she's sort of going, Memory in the moonlight, like this. And then as soon as she did this for ages, and then she finished and she went, and I went, oh, that's very nice. And she went, I learnt by ear. I was like, did you? Okay. Oh, I'm in love.
How did you learn to do music?
I bunked off DT.
What's DT?
Design technology.
That's not what they called it in my school.
Yeah, they called it.
Different
name.
It's when they stopped doing things like cooking and making stuff. And
right.
Like, it was the same, but you didn't actually get to do any of that stuff and just put A3 sheets of paper with borders around them. That seemed to be popular.
Yeah, at the time.
But what wasn't popular was me in that class, particularly with a boy who won't be listening to this, I'm almost sure, because he's almost definitely in prison, called Mark Brown.
Right.
He's got a prison name, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
And also a common name. So the other Mark Brown, not you, Mark.
You are lovely.
The other one.
His dad was like the BNP rep for New Haven.
Wow.
So it was all kinds of messed up. And he believed me to be a homosexual. And took umbrage at this. And one time before class, he threatened me with a knuckle duster in the toilets.
Right.
So I thought...
With an actual knuckle, it wasn't just a...
No,
euphemism.
An actual...
It wasn't...
No.
Did you fancy a quick knuckle duster, Christopher?
So I...
Oh, I thought you took on the bridge.
Dan, that is... Wow, you're making out like I was some sissy girl at school. I'm sorry.
And northern as well.
Yeah.
And you're well not.
Deeply southern. No offence to
more southern than me. Not as southern as Julius, he was born in Saudi Arabia. That's well southern.
Yeah.
But the upshot of it was I didn't go to these lessons and I played piano instead. I think the music teacher knew, really, that I shouldn't be in the music rooms all the time, but he didn't seem to mind. And then eventually, I did this for years, maybe 2.5 years until the mocks.
Right.
And then I didn't go to the mocks. I could have easily gone to the mocks and bluffed that exam.
Yeah.
But I don't know why, I just didn't do it. And so they found out, this whole thing unravelled.
Mm.
And the head of DT got me in front of her. And she was called, this might be libelous, I'm allowed to say this?
Yeah.
Well, if it's actually her name, then...
Well, no, it's what I'm about to say after. Her name was Miss Middlemiss.
Okay.
And she allegedly wore two bras. No, she did wear two bras.
Right.
That happened. And
I suppose it's only libelous if it's detrimental to their reputation and character.
Well, I mean, it could be, because it was fucking weird. Why would you wear two bras?
Because for your other pair of tits? I don't know. No one
knew, but she did.
Yeah.
And,
that is weird.
Yeah, really weird. And she got me in front of her, and she was all like, you think you're really clever. And me being a twat was thinking, yeah, I do think I'm quite clever, actually.
I don't know how many bras to put on you.
And she said, one day, you're already going to regret not having a DT GCSE.
That's classic.
Yeah. Just for the record, Miss Middlemass, if you are listening, you're not listening, you don't do culture. I don't. I'm
so
fine with it.
He doesn't regret it. And one bra is enough.
Yeah.
Unless maybe she just had this kind of hipster Shoreditch thing. Maybe she wanted to be known as... What was her first name?
Miss?
Miss. Yeah. Missy Two Bras. Who's that down
maybe
there?
she was wearing two bras because she realised she didn't have any major features that could be bullied by children, and she was determined to go into teaching and be bullied by children. She was like, I need something that they can bully me for. Mm. I know I'll wear
that
two
was
bras.
It. Maybe that was it. That's probably what it was. It was this huge defence mechanism she built up, so people would go, ah, Miss Minimuth, you got two bras, you stupid. And you got two bras. And then at night she would just go home, take one bra off and go, I am cleansed. There is nothing they can say to me, for I have now got one bra. Mm. It's beautiful. That's what you should do if you're a teacher. That was a much more interesting response than I thought when I asked my sort of crap blasé question. I thought you were just going to say, I just got into it.
Have I never told you that before?
No, I didn't know that. Oh, right. It sounds like I did know that.
Yeah. No, it's that's a true story.
That's really good. I remember when we did the election, the last election, we were doing counting. They were not counting. We were like in the leisure centre watching to see if they were counting them properly. Mm. And there was a bit there where I was in the gym of Lewis Leisure Centre, sat on an exercise bike watching the results come in. And there was one other person in the room. I hadn't really registered. And I sort of looked over. And then it just occurred to me that I was sat on this exercise bike in a gym watching election results with the BNP candidate. It was just us two.
Oh.
And he gave me this... And something happened on screen, like someone lost a seat. And he gave me this look as if to say... You know, that's happened. And I was like, oh, no! whatever it is, I don't feel the same about it as you. So,
what was the other great thing that happened in the...
Oh, yeah, so then the Labour Party candidate was trying to take a picture of his team, and he was trying to... He sort of turned around to ask the nearest person to take a picture for him. And he sort of turned around and said, excuse me, because you're not you, you blood. You're not taking a picture of me, you're racist. It was awful. Yeah. But just say that because, you know, the BNP connection with your story.
Mm.
It's a freewheeling psychogeographic podcast we've decided based on the last one. We just go where it takes us, yeah?
Mm. All right, cool.
There's no roadmap. We're out in the desert. Anything could happen.
Okay, I feel bad about what I said about Miss Middlemass now. I'm sure she...
Keep repeating her name, that'll make it better.
A very competent...
I'm not eating it out.
And if she was here now, I'd give her a big hug.
Yeah.
For reals. But I still don't regret not having a DT GCSE.
I'm trying to remember if I've got a whatever we called it GCSE for that. I think I remember making like jewellery with out of bolts.
that sounds really shit.
It was really shit. I hate it. Yeah.
Doesn't that those making stuff out of things like metal and stuff exist so that kids who might want to go into engineering go and then do engineering?
Yeah, but what I don't get, it was sort of like this sort of depracticalisation of education in the 80s, and like people do, I mean, I think they still do it now, but we used to do like home economics, but they called it food technology.
I think I still had home economics at primary school, yeah. I think,
and I cooked
we
twice
we didn't do that at primary school,
and then most of the time like wrote stuff about nutritional values of flapjacks if I was going to set up a flapjack business.
Right.
I think because, like...
Yeah, because I know, because my experience was different, because I think about... There aren't many things I could say I definitely learned at school. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's lots of things, you know, lots of facts went in, like, I kind of knew them. I probably would have learned most of that stuff anyway. You know, I mean, I could, like, Tudors and stuff. I've probably read about that since. But from school, from food technology, I remembered that Cornish people don't like it if you put carrots in a Cornish pasty. Because we had a Cornish food technology teacher, and she'd get livid about that.
Wow.
She'd be like, potato, no carrots, new carrots. So very angry.
Mm. Our food technology teacher was a very unhappy lady.
Oh, if you look back at it, so many of them were. Mm. And again, this is why I feel bad about bitching about them now. But
there is a little bit of you that kind of... Because I never, ever bullied anybody. I got bullied, but like not really... I was never like... a big victim person. I just sort of dealt with it, but like there are some teachers where you kind of go,
knock that over.
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Because you are not capable of it.
But
you had an RE teacher who had like three or four nervous breakdowns in the time that we were at secondary school because they locked her in the cupboard and they absolutely tore into her. Wow. And you'd sit there watching it, not able to do anything because of course. They are. It's not that they're stronger, it's that if you do anything about it, your life will be made shit for another couple of years and you just can't do it. So you just sit there kind of going, really? Are you really that horrible to these kinds of people? But at the same time, thinking, why doesn't she resign? Why doesn't she resign and do something else?
So were you genuinely thinking that you were genuinely had pity for the teacher, yes, had empathy for the
teacher?
Yeah,
I was never a bullying sort.
Because I think that's quite unusual.
I never,
and certainly before then, but being 15, I wouldn't have given.
Yeah, I think I would have been. Yeah, I'm not sure I would have joined in, but I would have been sitting there.
Noble way. I just don't have it. I don't have that being cruel to people thing. I'd sooner ignore them and move away, but I would never ever be cruel to somebody, not like that.
So I was talking to Jay the other day about he's a teacher and he was doing these various studies and stuff, and we're talking about like how the people who've taken over his school, I shouldn't have said his name, I might go back and bleep that out. The people who'd taken over this guy's school were like from a kind of corporate background, and they were kind of trying to bring business and economic theories to bear on education on the basis that, you know, well, we know how to get the best out of workers in a company, so that'll work in a school. And we were just talking about how actually the problem with that, because I generally believe in economic theories, and like I like the idea that people respond to incentives, and I think that's a good way of organising things and working stuff out. But with 15-year-olds, they don't, because you need them to act in their own best interest in order for economic theories to work. That has to be the core of what people do. Mm. Is to fundamentally go,
rational.
If I would like this, and therefore I have to make a rational decision based on that. And even like behavioural economics, they still have to be acting in their own best interests to an extent, even if they're wrong. But 15-year-olds just don't. They don't act in their own best interest. They act in, you know, some mental thing that can't be predicted.
Yeah. Well, so they act on their chemicals mostly, don't they?
But their chemicals seem to be completely unpredictable.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So you can't. So there's like no. I'd like to see a behavioural economics that only addresses 15-year-old boys.
Gosh.
And maybe like 30-year-old.
I'd like to see
the
equation that models that. Mm. And I'd like it set to music for an hour in a kind of psychedelic way.
Oh, sounds good to me.
Gone sort of a bit serious now. It could go anywhere.
Could it?
Yeah, the podcast could go anywhere. We could go serious. We could do an hour's discussion of economic theory as it applies to 15-year-olds. Or we could just go back to like slagging off teachers doing jokes and stuff.
Either's good.
I'm leaving it up to you. It's like choose your own adventure.
Oh, no, see, now there's pressure.
Do you want to which page do you want to turn to? 72?
I don't really care, as long as I can put my finger in the page that I've just come from, and if it's a bad one, I can go straight back.
You can go back.
Okay, you can do that.
Okay.
Okay, so should you A, go to page... If you want to hear Julia play the song that's been requested, turn to page 133.
Oh, smoothly.
If you want to play your own song, turn to page 72. And if you want to continue talking about economic theory as it applies to 15-year-old boys... And the taking over of schools by corporate interests, then just go back to the beginning. And we'll do it again.
I'm shy, so I think Julia should play first.
Ooh. Okay, 133 it is.
Let's swap seats.
Okay. So what fucking song have these morons requested this month?
Simon, you have to stop being horrible to everybody who has given us money.
Not much. Only a bit. All right, yes. Actually, it's quite a sensible one this week, isn't it?
It is. We are playing... can you just pass me my phone?
There it is.
We are playing Unity Mickford for...
Oh, that's a lovely song.
It's a bit old, though. I mean, surely they've heard it enough. It's been years.
I'm doing one that's as old as that today.
Really?
Don't. It's because I haven't really...
Yeah, but you're the guest, so this will go out to a new audience for you. This is just people who know us.
Well, maybe they like it. It's kind of...
Well, I think it's good. Off that first album... Which is largely now songs I just disagree with on a fundamental level and am embarrassed to sing. I do still kind of think that one says something that's remotely valid about something. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, it is also the one that we can play.
But it's the next one on the list, so.
It is the next one on the list.
And the next one on the list after this is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So.
Actually, we have a few left.
But the next one on the list is the one that's going to be. Yeah, we'll leave that for when we actually get to it.
We'll leave that, because that is something that will
be... So I'll just play it on your own?
Yes.
All right.
So this is for James Burt. speaking the language that only we know. I'll brush an eyelash from your cheek. I know the right books about you and all the crowds and joyful faces. These people are just backdrop to us. You and I don't even think like they do. You and I, we're like a different species, like Romeo and Juliet in a bunker, shot through the head. Everything will be beautiful. Everything will be beautiful. Affairs of state and of the heart. I love it when you speak so passionately. We understand how music works. You understand what you mean to me and all the indescribable.
Because that's one bad note. You wait until I remember that you play the piano properly, and I
yeah no you see that's the
learned
that's
when
the
I should have been going to DT
about the piano is that everything on it sounds like it's proper, but actually I'm just using my little transpose button to play it in. See,
oh yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Not with that one. With that one, yeah, no, that's the trick. You see, that's why whenever they say, "Oh, we got a real piano for you," you're like, "Oh no, no."
Oh no, no, I can't play anything in D. I tried it; it was horrible. Mm. I'm not doing that again.
Well, that was old, so I actually had to work that one.
Why can you play the piano? You know, like, is your story as good as Chris's?
Or did
you just have lessons?
No, I started playing piano when I was six because. Oh, this is a really posh story, to be honest.
My grandparents
bought us a baby grand.
Yeah, that's really posh.
That's pretty posh, right? That's pretty posh, isn't it? It's pretty posh.
Yeah.
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 So we had that. We lived in a very big house, an old Regency house.
It's not getting any better.
Which, to be fair, my parents bought in the
80s. Stole.
From a poor man.
We were squirting it. Tough days.
I think they bought it for £80,000, and it is now a house worth just under £1 million.
But they sold it before it went
they
up.
Did. They sold it for 290, I think. And then it went up 2 years later to 400, and then a few years after that it was just under £1 million. I think they were kicking themselves, to be honest. Anyway, so I played piano because of that. And then I started having lessons when I was about 9 or 10. And then I quit having lessons when I was about 12, 13, because I didn't really want to do lessons.
I used to have piano lessons. I got grade 2 on the piano.
Yeah,
I haven't got grade 1, because the teacher, she was mental, and she forgot about grades. And then I was like, am I supposed to be doing grades? And she goes, oh, yes, well, I'm far too good to grade 1. Just put me in. She used to teach at Eton and then take private clients. And I was like, she lived over the road from my parents, but like down this like terrifying lane. I had to go down the lane, and then she would come in, and she was going, oh yes, just brush that aside, my pussy's bleeding hairs all over the stool.
This is like to a teenager, you know?
No, to a 10-year-old. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So, and they had like snakes upstairs, like one of her sons like, had kept snakes, and just, yes, it was, I think she died, it was sad, but she, yeah, that's, but I got grade 2, and then I realised that I just wanted to play jazz. And I said that to her, so I'm really more into playing like jazz, piano. And then she got me like a book of like notated jazz piano, and I was like, "That's not how you do it."
I remember not being that into standardised piano testing.
Oh, the way they teach it's just the death of music.
Well, like I think like one of the problems is that my brother, everyone is relatively musical, but I'd say that probably, like, you can sort of tell when somebody just does scales and goes up and down over and over and over and over again that they're not necessarily musical. They just want to be, and so you'd have this kind of situation where, like, for 6 hours, someone would be going over and over again, and then like the next one, and you know, I really did it wrong, didn't I? Wrong key. There we go. And you do that for hours and hours and hours, and then you play something, and it would just sound shit. And you'd be like, you know, mate, this isn't your calling. This isn't something that's good.
Well, what grade have you got? Have you got grades?
I ain't got no grade.
Ain't got no grades. You taught yourself in when
I got grade 2, I think. I went up to grade 2.
That means I'm as good as you.
I think I'm
better than you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even exist on the goodness scale.
I got up to pretty high on the oboe.
Got grade 8, haven't you?
I didn't get grade 8, but I was grade 8.
So I was grade 8.
I was playing grade 8 music.
Oh, anyone can say that.
Or no, the thing is about the oboe is hardly anybody wants to play the oboe at school, and if your dad knows the teacher, then that's what you play.
You're sounding more posh.
Yeah.
Say something.
Sounds
posher
than me,
past.
And
yeah.
I consider myself to be
fucking posh. Well, my dad's side are relatively posh, I suppose.
But your mum's side, they're scum, aren't they?
Mum's is definitely not, no. So it's like European poor, so proper belly wear. The place where mum grew up is just horrible.
Kind of people Stalin would kill.
Well, if you look at the family history, and it's just like babies dying of starvation and stuff, it's pretty grim, yeah.
In like the 20th century, wasn't it?
Yeah,
there
was
like a baby who died of starvation.
Pretty fucked up stuff. And they lived basically in a like brickworks quarters and stuff. They were Hungarian and Croatian, but they became Austrian because they changed where Austria was and became Austrian. But they were Croatian.
Do you have interesting things in your family history?
No, none at all.
No, I mean, it was just Dudley for generations, and then people moved out.
My stepdad's related to New Zealand's most wanted man. Oh, I think maybe they've caught him now, so he's not wanted anymore.
Right.
But that's about as interesting as it gets.
It's quite interesting.
Well, moderately. He's got a weird...
Everyone's got something that is a bit wacky.
Yeah, I
want to
hear
it's
about
like...
New Zealand man.
Yeah. Oh, it's
I mean, I suppose New Zealand, how what did he do? Like, just graffiti? It's
like... he killed a couple of guys.
Right.
In a... I think, you know, a couple of innocent bystanders in an armed robbery. I don't think he was very nice.
Doesn't sound like the nicest man.
No. But that's all I know about him. And that his surname's Polwart, because it's the same surname as my stepdad.
Because do you have that thing where you really want to know about your like people you're related to in the past?
I don't care.
Because Julia's dad really cares, and my dad really cares. Like, he's like looking into it. And he'll be like, oh, I found this amazing thing. And it sort of is amazing, but I just haven't got to the point yet where I care.
But surely if you go back, you know, enough centuries, we're all related to someone.
We're all connected, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know, but...
Probably
not
my family for several generations, in fairness, but...
I mean, like, he will turn up interesting things. My dad and your dad will turn up interesting stuff, but I just can't quite find it interesting. But I think I will one day.
I think maybe it happens to men at a certain age. I don't think it necessarily happens to women, though. I don't know if it does seem to be predominantly male preoccupation.
Do you think it's a genes thing? Do you think it's?
I think it happens at a certain age. I think when you start contemplating your death and your mortality and everything, like you start thinking about your past and your history and your legacy, the legacy of your life and that kind of thing.
Oh wow!
Like I think that's what it is, though. I think it does.
Yeah,
happen,
no,
like,
I suppose. Do you think I'll get to that stage?
Your
I
dad
just...
isn't as into it as my dad, though. My dad's really into it.
No, my dad really got into. I don't think that's what it is with my dad at all. No. I think my dad just really likes being able to do detective work.
Yeah.
Like, I think he really likes...
Because there is an awful lot of that.
He likes the fact that, you know, with the internet stuff, you can be a detective in a way that you previously might have just thought, I'd like to be a detective.
Yeah.
And I think it's more that with my dad than anything more profound. Maybe with your dad it's the other way.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, really. It's hard to say. I mean, I definitely am finding...
Because I think my dad thinks, basically deep down, if he goes back far enough, he'll be able to prove that Jesus got married to, like... like Jesus married his gran or something, and not Jesus's gran. I'm not accusing Jesus of gerontophile incest, but
it would be all right if Jesus married your gran.
If we go back far enough, we'll be able to prove that we are of the Merovingian line that directly descended from Jesus. I reckon that deep down, my dad thinks that he's going to, you know, come up with a Da Vinci Code stuff, uncovering.
I remember when I wrote my first song.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's that about Jesus?
No, it was about my brother being an arsehole, I think. He locked me in to the room. He locked me into the living room for 6 hours or something. Wouldn't let me out. And then, because he's mad. and I needed the toilet and stuff, and so I had to pee in a pot plant, and I just couldn't get out of this room.
Wow.
I wrote a song about how he was a bastard. I wish I could remember how it went. It was probably, because the piano was in that room, obviously, so I just...
I can't think what would be the first song I wrote. Do you know what the first song you wrote?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I think you should, in excruciating detail, tell us everything about it.
No! It was very bad. No, it wasn't that bad. I was five.
Right.
And there were some boys in my class. That's why I just sort of realised I'm just a desperate hysteric that, like, wants approval and to show off all the time.
Hmm.
And there were some boys that got to sing a song.
If I know anyone who isn't that.
No, they're incredibly dull, those people.
Yeah.
These two boys got to dress up as pirates and sing a song about how they were pirates.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seething with jealousy at age five, not understanding why I wasn't a freaking pirate.
Mm.
And so I got in a tiz about it, and Miss Saville... my teacher. So no, she was lovely. I have nothing but goodness to say about her.
She was one of the good Savills.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, most Savills are great. Yeah,
right.
She said, "Well, why are you so upset?" So I said, "Well, I've got a song." She said, "Do you?" I said, "Yeah, I wrote it myself." And I can't remember how it went, but I remember it being about devils, plural.
Right.
And she went, "Right, okay, crack in." But that was technically the first song I ever wrote.
That's great.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
You can't remember it at all.
No. Well, actually, I might be able to, but I'm definitely not going to recant it now.
I really can't think. I mean, I wrote a play when I was 11.
What was it about?
It was about the rainforest. And how you shouldn't cut it down and stuff. Oh, and the
you used
villain.
To care about that stuff.
You're a good egg, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. And we
and we were all going to go to space. Do you remember? We were all going to go to space.
Oh, I never fancied space.
I still want to go to space.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd kill people in space.
You're like, you are so tiny and small. Pew, pew, pew.
No, I wouldn't kill people from space on Earth.
No, why
would that be the way that
would?
Yeah. Yes. Don't say that at the selection
great
interview.
Britain, not so great now.
Yeah.
Because
you
do
it,
hold grudges as
now.
Well. Do you remember her coming back from Scotland? When we took Job to Edinburgh.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
She was coming back and she was going, "I'm going to wipe this country out." Just because someone was outside the window of the hostel shouting, "Karen, I fucking love you, you cunt," at 3 a.m.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And we couldn't sleep, and Julie was just really angry and wanted to annihilate the whole of Scotland.
Fucking hell, girl.
But since then, she's been to Glasgow.
I have.
You were laughing quite a lot with a sort of look of someone who was a bit frightened.
Yeah.
So I was really cross about it. I
can't remember exactly what it was that made you so. Was it just not having slept?
I think I'd been up for longer than 48 hours without any sleep, and I just couldn't function anymore.
I mostly remember being utterly terrified on that journey because I think you'd had a similar amount of sleep.
Yeah.
And you were driving all the way, and you kept going, could you just talk to me about something? Anything. It doesn't really matter. I was like, fuck. Anyway, tell me about your childhood.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah,
but I don't really. To be honest, I don't remember that.
It was hilarious.
It was fine. It wasn't dangerous. I knew what I was doing. I've driven more tired than that.
Oh,
I drove
fuck.
Back from Glastonbury. Like when I went to Glastonbury with the flu by mistake, which is a really fucking stupid thing to do. And I came, and but Michael Parker, who plays God in the musical, he had to be back like to go to work on the Monday, so he had to leave on the Sunday, and I was like really fucking ill, hadn't slept, really tired, and I had to drive back, and then I kind of went the wrong way, and like, but I went the wrong way at precisely the moment where instead of going to Brighton you go to London, so it sort of like added like 3 hours to the journey.
Oh shit.
And it was like just this nightmare, and that I was more tired than when we came back to school.
Man, I'm glad I wasn't in that car.
I got into and I was safe, but you know, I got into an altered state of consciousness because Justin.
Yep. That isn't a sentence that makes sense in and of itself. You can't say I was safe, but I got into an altered state of consciousness.
I can say it. It was an altered state where everything was safe. But no, it was. I was like, because you know that game where someone is like someone adopts a persona and then you ask them questions, like 20 questions, and you have to guess who they are. And so you're like, oh, you've got brown eyes or whatever, or are you a fictional character? And we were playing that to keep me awake on the way back from Glastonbury. And Justin, do you know Justin Ryan?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, Justin.
Is he going to be on this?
I think so at some point. Yeah.
Good. Well, he wanted to be. Yeah. But he was in the back of the car, and like Justin, he's lovely, but he's quite straightforward. Sort of thinker. And we were playing this game, and I just kind of, because I was so spaced out, I kind of got into a stage where I just knew exactly what he was thinking. I just started really freaking him out. We were playing this game, and he'd go, okay, I've got one, and I'd go, it's Billy Bragg, and it would be, and he'd go, what fuck are you doing? But I was just that tired that I'd ceased to be my own discrete consciousness and had inhabited everyone. At least that's what I thought. This might all have been a dream while I was sleeping while driving down the road. Well, I was, you know, roughly while someone else was sort of grabbing the wheel on the 303.
Yeah, you were not a well man.
I was fucking ill, man. That was rubbish. And I remember dragging myself out of the tent because I thought, well, I better go and watch McCartney because, you know, he might die and he's a Beetle. And I won't have seen a Beetle if I don't.
We saw Morrissey.
Was fucking terrible.
Oh, I wouldn't touch him with yours.
No.
I
think he did like Hey Jude for about an hour. And it was like, oh, this is just not good anymore.
I think that's what he does, not just performing, just around.
Just walks around singing
Hey Jude forever, just that end bit again and again. He should so stop.
Yeah,
definitely. Do you want to play us a song?
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
excellent.
Let me do Hey Jude.
Sorry, it's probably a bit sweaty in there now.
That's all right. I'm also sweaty, so we can mingle sweats. That would be nice.
Yeah, it's not a great pedal.
That's all right.
The other one.
It's better than mine.
So is this a new one or an old one?
Oh, this is an old one because I'm getting the nerves about the new one because I only wrote it last night and it really does need to bed in. But I might do it.
We'll see.
But this is an old one. This is thematically similar to the one what Julia played because it's also about Hitler. It's not really. That's better. Take me out dancing with you. I swear it's not to check upon you. And even though I've got my eyes upon you now. Thank you.
and bring yourself to touch me. And when a body's me, there's no ground beneath our feet. If you should stray, then I would use my whip, but you would only pluck it from my hand. And I swear, behind Superman, naked and prostrated at your feet, we could be kings of the earth, even though you fuck other boys beside me, even though you'd sell all your friends if you're in.
That piece of music.
What, the bit that I nicked off Wagner at the end?
It's Wagner, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what I did there.
It's very
if
good.
If you're gonna nick something,
though. Yeah. Nick.
So, what have you got against polyamorous relationships as a lifestyle choice?
Do you know what? I was just thinking the other day that so many of my songs have just got this latent misogyny in them. And,
They probably don't. You're probably just worrying about it too much.
No, they probably don't. No, I think they do because I'm a bit misogynistic. And I can't help it, and I want to be better. And I think this is sort of a way of exercising that demon.
Julia's here.
I fucking hate women.
No, you're just...
Whoa.
Yeah, mate.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, no.
It's like Mark Brown in the room.
Oh, knuckle duster.
That is interesting, though, because... I suppose there's being misogynistic and there's exploring misogyny. It's like someone like Lars von Trier. Right, makes these films which are, I think, addressing questions about misogyny. And he's sort of going, well, what is misogyny actually about? What is this deep-seated dark thing which he clearly feels? And that to me seems like a valid, worthwhile thing to do.
It does, but you also look at Lars von Trier and go, you fucking dick.
Yeah, but I sort of...
And possibly, you fucking misogynistic dick.
Yeah, I think you probably do that. But this, I don't know, like, women who work with him seem to like him, which I think is often a good thing. It's like Gordon Ramsay. People who work for Gordon Ramsay don't think he's a cunt.
Right.
And, like, I think there's probably something to learn from that about Lost. I always think with him, it's like, he is really pretentious, but at least in his pretension, he addresses things which required pretension to address. Whereas what I can't stand is someone like Darren Aronofsky, who dresses really pedestrian, boring things, but does them in a really pretentious way. And it's like sort of like, oh, it's an hour and a half to say TV, yeah, it's a bit like drugs in it. Pathetic. Whereas, you know, the things that Lars von Trier's talking about are genuine, it's hard to explain, and so you kind of need to be pretentious to get...
I thought the what was that film?
He wants to say... He's disagreeing with me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just going to slag off Antichrist. I liked it, but I still want to slag it off. Well, that whole, like... First up, was it Willem Dafoe?
Wasn't
it? I need some kind of health warning before I see Willem Dafoe's fake penis many, many times.
That's quite a good criticism.
The 18 certificate is not enough for
thing.
Names in that warning
contains a little
road sign thing with a penis in it and a little line through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little Willem Dafoe just going with a line through it.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, I don't object to Willem Dafoe. I just his and I probably don't even object to his real penis, but the fact that it was just this bizarre fake mighty shaft, which is all fucking Lars von Trier ever wants to do, is go, I've got a big, clever thwack of an idea, and I'm going to fucking about the place. That doesn't work on podcasts, but I was sort of...
He was doing a little...
Simulating.
To be honest, I'm glad that was just for us.
I haven't got my penis out, listeners.
Yeah. No, he hasn't.
But Lars von Trier fucking does all the time.
Yeah. I do not. Quiet, Lars. I wish Lars von Trier was in the corner just all the time, just
like
occasionally piping up. No, more. I want to hear more about why Chris is...
No, I'm pretty much done. It's just
that. That is a review if you were...
Well, no, it's not that he has ideas, but he just waggles them in your face all the time. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, fine, get it. But maybe in a slightly more subtle, sensitive, dare I say, feminine way. Would be good.
But then I think the one after that, what's it called? The end of the world one.
Oh, that was brilliant.
That is quite a more gentle, feminine approach to...
In fact, I haven't seen that, so I...
It's really good. It's really good. I recommend it. Unless, you know, you're a woman, in which case you'll probably be deeply affronted by it. No, it's not. It's not. It's about depression.
It's
about how depressed people can deal with things in a way that non-depressed people can't. And so when the end of the world is coming, like, everyone else is like, ah, but depressed people are just sort of like, yeah, I can deal with that. Yeah. It's kind of what I was wanting to happen.
Which is something that I haven't really seen done in film before. And it is kind of like, if you've ever been very, very depressed, and you recognise it straight away, you're like, okay, that's interesting, I've not seen that done.
I guess, the thing is, I don't want to say that he's crap, because he's clearly not crap, but it's just that it's a very masculine way of presenting ideas.
Yes.
Like Wagner as well. It's just nothing wrong with it, obviously, in many respects, fucking awesome. But it's pretty heavy handed, and he's clearly gone, I've just done something really very clever indeed. Which is also what I did when I wrote that song, so I should really, really shut the fuck up.
No, but I like that you're reflecting on it. I think that's good for a podcast.
Right.
I like this because it's basically what we do every week. So we play things that we don't really agree with anymore and then dissect them at length and worry about them. I think that's a good... It's Woody Allen-ish and probably quite male. I like this happening.
What?
Good.
Dissecting things?
Just going back and going, oh man, I don't really know if I...
But I mean, maybe that's my issue, I don't know.
No, it's really... Because it is really interesting because I don't know. I don't necessarily think that, like... I don't necessarily think that... Because I know your songs quite well, and I don't necessarily think that they're misogynistic, but they are, like, clearly personal and from a male view in relationships, some of them.
Yeah.
And quite often quite cross-male.
Oh, generally, otherwise I wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
You know, like, why would you write a song about how you're in a happy, stable relationship?
I don't know. Maybe I haven't tried it.
No one does, because it's crap, because you...
Maybe there is a great album to be written about, you know what, my life... Pretty sweet. I think that's what Keith's new album will
be. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
The best, best song of that ilk ever written is probably "Loving You" by Minnie Riperton, and that's as good as it gets. And that still makes my skin crawl.
Mm. That might just be the high note.
It's all of it. It's just nasty.
I suppose rap music quite often is... Yeah, my life. But I suppose my life is brilliant in opposition to what my life was, as opposed to my life.
Oh yeah, that's the point. That's like for once in my life. That's why it's such an upbeat song, because you're saying, you know,
But just generally, it's all right. It's been nice, and Neil Hann does it.
Does he?
Yeah.
Examples?
Charmed Life.
Not heard it.
Right. It's just about his son and how he likes his son and how his life's been all right and he likes his son and that's really all it's about.
Is it a good song?
I intermittently think so.
Right.
I thought so when it came out, and I probably went through a period of not thinking so, and now I think I probably think so.
I think it's a nice album.
Wow,
I used to be a massive Divine Comedy fan. I'm not so much anymore, but then I don't listen to that much music anymore that isn't dance music at the moment, because dance music is back in fashion and I love that. So so it's kind of like, yeah, brilliant. I'm just going to listen to Beat for a couple of years. But I used to be a massive fan, and I think probably it doesn't help that I know Phil Jays, and Phil Jays kind of does something particular in chanson that I think is slightly better than Neil Hannon. So Neil Hannon's more successful, perhaps, but Phil Jays has this kind of... Phil Jays has this kind of darkness about it, which suits that style of singing.
I think maybe with Neil Hannon you go, oh, this is brilliant, there must be a real depth to that, and then you kind of assume there's more depth than there actually is, and then there's a reckoning when you realise it isn't quite as deep as you thought.
Well, I think part of it is he's obviously a great craftsman, you know, but then, yeah, you do sort of listen to it after a while and kind of go...
Surely there's an extra level of...
Yeah, be more pissed off.
Yeah, a little bit.
But then I would say that about almost all music.
Philip
but then
Jay
at the same time,
has,
no one else is really writing songs about just having quite a nice life and liking your son.
Mm. Yeah, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah, but someone has to.
Do they?
If only to show us what we should not do. But I think what it really says is if you are going to do that, you really do have to have a massive orchestra to distract people.
Yeah, but if you've got a massive orchestra, why waste it on a, you know... complacent song.
Oh, he's shit then. Fuck him. I'm convinced.
Yeah. Again, I'm feeling guilty now because this is going out in public.
He's not going, I don't think he's going to listen to it. People who like him will listen to it. I like him. We like him, don't we? I don't know. Yeah. We don't really have a view on him. We prefer Avicii.
I don't know the hell that is. Dance
music.
There's a good Skrillex remix of it. So it was awesome.
Right.
You like Skrillex though, right?
Also, I don't really see the point in Skrillex.
Oh, he's like, great Skrillex.
Well, no, but I mean, is he though?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, right.
Very harmonically complex.
Apologies, he is great. no, I just don't... it just sounds like a sort of cheesy version of the shit that I was listening to when I was a kid.
But it sort of is. I don't think it's... I think a lot of people think it's sort of an Americanized version of stuff like Scream, and I like stuff like Scream, but I actually think that Skrillex did something new with it a little bit. There's things that are there's that one song that was like the huge hit. It was really
good. Yeah.
But it's not that bit, it's actually the kind of the melody's quite interesting. I think I like Skrillex.
Yeah, it is harmonically very interesting. And
but,
I think
what does that mean? But it just is. It sounds nice.
Well, it means like that
is he as good as Wagner?
Yes, I'd say he is as good as Wagner.
In that case, what I'm going to do is listen to all this
stuff.
And has
inspired fewer genocides, so it actually is better. Though, so, give it some time. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen.
I've got a great recording of the Ride of the Valkyries. Is that right? Is it the Ride? Is it Little Ride? Little Ride of Valkyries. I'm going in the Valkyrie Ride. Lovely.
That'd be a good ride.
The theme park.
Yeah. Well, that'd be amazing.
You know those restaurant chains like Planet Hollywood and stuff?
Yeah.
I always wanted to open a restaurant chain called Asgard, where the bar would be like this desolate battlefield with like murals of like dead Vikings and shit. And then all the cocktails would be like blood coloured and stuff. And then when your table's ready, you get a Valkyrie comes. And she's like, so your table's ready. And then you go through a corridor. And in the corridor, that's just on a loop. And then they lead you through to like this huge feasting hall where like there's goats on a spit and stuff. And you just feast.
That would be amazing as well.
That'd be a really good themed restaurant, right? Yeah. Better than Mongolian barbecue.
And all things are better than Mongolian.
I hate Mongolian barbecue.
Oh, it's so gash.
Why do you hate Mongolian barbecue?
Well, because it's over salty, and every time I've gone there, I've got the shits.
Really?
Mm.
Well, that's even more drastic than what I dislike about it, which is just, I don't want to do the choosing. You choose. Your job.
Yeah, but that is lazy. Yeah. It's like restaurants with too many dishes. What's the point?
Yeah. Exactly.
Definitely going to get food poisoning if they've got too many dishes.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
Well, so don't go there, the Mongolian barbecue. Unless you're into that sort of thing.
Hasn't it closed down?
I don't know. Probably. Hope so. There was one in Wickham for a while. That's not there either anymore.
So I've now got quite a selection of questions to ask people that are funny.
Your emergency questions.
Yeah.
So Rich Herring does that.
Oh, really?
Well, he did that long before you. He has emergency questions for his podcast where...
I didn't know that he did that. So we are of a similar mind.
But they're not the same questions you're not going to ask if he's ever tried to suck his own cock.
Opinion on Virginia Woolf.
What, my opinion on Virginia
what
Woolf?
What is your opinion on Virginia Woolf?
I'm going to sound utterly shit now because I've not read any Virginia Woolf.
Oh, that's good enough for me.
Okay. Basically, as long as you say, I hate her or I don't care, then you win.
Right, okay.
Because she tried that on Roz and Roz was like, yeah, she's interesting. I like a lot of her work. And she was like, fuck off. She's shit.
No, I let her tell me why.
Didn't she? The only thing that keeps ringing in my head about Virginia Woolf is that thing where she talks about how... didn't she have a thing about personalities and she couldn't work out which one the real her was? Something
yeah, about she was that. Bored and rich and stupid.
The thing is, there's no possibility of actually having an interesting and intellectual discussion about Virginia Woolf with Julia because she just really, really hates her.
It's just the way of me slagging her off.
She just wants to bring her up so that she can then slag her off.
Okay, well, sadly, I have very little opinion.
That's good
on
enough
Woolf.
For me, as I said. Did you ever sing in a choir?
I sang in several choirs, yes.
At school?
Yeah, that's how come the piano teacher, the music teacher let me use the piano because they let me sing in the choir.
Yeah. And did they know at school that you were good at singing?
Oh, fuck yeah. Because,
they did. Because they didn't at my school. They didn't let me sing in the school band. And
Listen to Chris's answer.
Sorry.
We'll talk about this later in the session.
Shut up. I'm not going to counselling.
Wasn't much to say apart from when I was 12. Mr. Steele, the trouble was, Mr. Steele would make me sing ridiculous choir boy songs, and I would do it. And so when I was 12.
Is this in a private sort of setting? Or?
No, because if it had been.
What are you accusing him of, Chris?
I want to be absolutely clear. Mr. Steele was a lovely man and not a sex offender.
Right.
Good. He made me sing I Saw Three Ships at the
excellent
before my voice had broken in the Christmas concert, and then people remembered, surprisingly.
Wow.
I know. And I think still even my last day people would come up to me and go, I saw three ships like that. but I earned that. It was my fault.
I remember being Jim Hawkins in Treasure Island in year 8 and having to walk from one end of the school, like the new school I was in, to the other, dressed in this frilly shirt with makeup on, like, and the teacher, like, he was directing it, going, "They're just jealous." Like, they're fucking not. No one is going, "Oh, I wish I was wearing that frilly shirt and makeup to walk through the school at the age of 12. That'd be fantastic." Oh, I'm maddened with jealousy. I shall express that in some kind of bullying. No, they were not jealous. Oh. I saw.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. We've moved on now. It's not a big deal.
Have you ever thought about joining another one?
Me and my girlfriend have talked about doing sort of choral stuff because I wrote a Christmas song that was all choral, but I've never done it with a choir and I quite want to do it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be quite interesting, but not one of these shit choirs.
There are quite a few. Because you see, I love to sing with people who can sing well.
Mm.
And I don't mean that the people that I sing with don't sing well. What I mean is, like, people who are able to, like me, sing various different parts at various different ranges and do it competently and have it sound beautiful in that way without having to get somebody who can't really sing harmonies.
Yeah, people that can't sing harmonies in tune, don't be in a choir.
Obviously, because amateur choirs, most of it is about confidence and stuff like that. So there's lots of choirs where they have a nice sing and it makes you feel good. And that is great, that is great.
But why
for them,
is that better than E?
It's a good point, you see. Yeah.
I'll suggest that to my mum. It's choir you're in.
All I'm saying, well, actually, E's shit now, isn't it? And it's got loads of bad stuff in it.
Yeah, supposedly. They call it funny things.
I don't take anything. I'm completely sober. I don't smoke anymore. I have no vices.
You've no vices?
Apart from hot, spicy food is the only vice I have left.
Oh, crap, what do you do?
I eat spicy food.
Well, you don't just continually masturbate?
Well, I live with my wife. It would be awkward. But I know last year for my birthday we just went to like the Sichuan Chinese place where it's really hot and just like instead of shots and just eating really hot food and going, wow, that's almost as good as advice.
Yeah.
It's desperately tragic. But no, I looked at cigarettes the other day, £8 for a packet 20. Of cigarettes. I couldn't now restart my vice if I wanted to because of the price of it.
But what about coffee?
I can't really have coffee anymore. I can't really, like, my body's just broken. I can't really have anything anymore.
Yeah.
What about, like, do you not just sometimes buy a whole packet of Tang Fastics and eat them in 10 minutes?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, Is that a vice now?
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, okay, in my world. Case, I've got some vice.
Yeah.
I don't, like I say, just really hot things. I don't just put in far too much place. That new inn there in Brighton on the North Road. Is it North Road? That new Japanese restaurant, the Kokoru, whatever it is. Their spicy pork is fucking spicy. just like to say, if you're a fan of spicy pork, oh my god, that's...
This is the same day that me and Simon were up at the hospital.
I had an appointment at the Digestive Diseases Department of the hospital. And I quite like the fact that I went there and then I went straight to eat what is really some of the spiciest pork I've ever had in my life. I think that was a good fuck you to the medical profession. It was shut up with your tests. I'm going to go and eat very, very...
With your tests, though, you know.
Which I've been waiting, yes, anyway.
Anyway.
I'm just saying, if you like spicy pork, if you like pork, you like it spicy, there's some good spicy pork. It's fucking spicy.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. But they don't say, really spicy pork, watch out, this pork is actually too spicy to eat, which is what they should say, because it is very spicy. They just say spicy pork.
Just with all hot food, right, just put the Scoville units on there. Get some figures on it.
Yeah.
That's easy.
It'll give you a better idea.
I think they'd done it a bit wrong that day. It was spicier than spicy pork.
I mean, you could finish
right
it.
To
it
be.
Was too spicy.
You
that's
could do
not good,
exactly the same thing with steak. You know, when people say, oh, they want it rare, and then you go to some places and they think, oh, you think rare, but actually they just give it cooked.
Yeah.
And then other places say you want it rare, and you basically get raw meat. So easy to calibrate that on a scale.
Yeah.
Just... get some strips, you know, and with colours on.
Yeah.
And then you
they
could
should do that.
And people who that. Like steak should have one in their wallet all the time, and then they could show and go, give me a number six.
But I suppose in the kitchen they do it by feel, don't they? It's to do with the bit of your face. I think that's what it is. I can never. But supposedly, like rare feels like a certain part of your cheek, and then medium rare feels like a different part, and then this is what I've seen. Though I can't. When I press a steak, I can't make any sense of it.
No.
it doesn't feel like my face. Oh. My face does not.
Here
are
you,
steak
pressing.
Well, I'm in there pressing my steak. I'm going, it doesn't feel very steak-like to me. My face, it's just my face.
It's just my face.
I want to cook more steaks. Practice a bit. I don't care.
Do you want to play a song?
Give us a tune.
Well, I was thinking we could play a Thlid song because we've got two Thlid CDs left.
And they're still in prison, aren't they? So we can't.
And they're still in prison.
Can't
they
get them
can't,
on the podcast.
What are they in for?
It was aggravated moral trespass.
That's pretty droll.
But they've basically given up. They're not playing any music ever again. Thornton, really, because he wasn't doing anything. So really, I'm the only one flying the flag. We did a gig, we did a tribute gig last year.
I heard about it.
Yeah, it was really good. I'm trying to remember how the song. Are you bored?
Mm.
Yeah, so this is a song by, if you don't know, the Thlids are a. This is the band that we found, and I'm sort of managing them. And as I say, they're in prison now and they've given up, and they're not actually allowed to play music. It's a condition of their release. If they ever are released, that will be a condition of their release.
Forever and ever?
Until they reach the age of majority. So, 18 at the moment. But
how old are they now?
I think Thornton's 13 now.
Right.
Yeah. It's terrible. I mean, they're awful people, but I can't.
Do you not feel in any way responsible? Like you've
I do
down?
Feel a bit bad about it because the prison thing really was sort of my fault because it was a lot of the stuff they broke was mine. but at the same time, it's like Tony Wilson. Then you've got to get in there, and that's where the real art is.
Kill that bloke.
Yeah.
Out of Joy Division.
He didn't kill him.
That's what I heard.
Did you?
Yeah, I heard that Tony Wilson
pretty sure he didn't kill
killed
him.
That bloke out of Joy Division.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. It was on a toilet wall.
Which toilet wall was that?
In
Manchester?
Yes.
Right,
it was,
in a toilet wall in Manchester.
I'm
not sure that's
toilet
a reliable source. Yeah.
Well, that...
That toilet in Manchester. Yeah, I've been in that toilet.
Yeah, well, that's where I found it.
I think they must have washed it off because it didn't say that when I was there, so...
Oh, you got to get in.
Yeah. It said that... what did it say? It said that Alan Hansen had murdered Mick Hucknall.
But I mean, that's evidently not true because Mick Hucknall still lives.
Is he? I mean, does he? No, I preempted your sentence there. He might not. He might just be. Who's Ed Sheeran really?
pyramids and douse their newspaper delivery in piss. And now there ain't nothing left.
Album Flid Midas Touch is well, it's been out for a year and can be bought from our website, and there's only two copies left. So if three people buy it, we're completely fucked.
Yeah, so two of you, there are two of you and you haven't got it yet. Two of you buy them.
Sort it out amongst yourselves.
It will be sold out, and then we can tell them when we go and visit them on visiting days that they have sold out.
And that we've spent the money that we're keeping in trust for them.
Yeah.
It's gonna be like Corey Feldman's parents. It's gonna be just like that. And which I think, to be honest, they do owe us for all the stuff they broke.
Yeah. Ah. Do you want to play another song?
I see, I've got the nerve now. I've got the fear now. I can't do it.
Okay.
Fair enough.
But,
Well, that other one
I'm going to do it on Monday somewhere.
Okay, but find a part if people are sort of going, oh man, I really want to hear stuff by Chris, he's great. Where can they do that? And how can they do that? How can people give money to you in exchange for it?
I'm not sure if I'm at the stage where I would accept money. I think that's rather ridiculous. But if you want to listen to music for free, go to SoundCloud and type in Chris Hodges and work out which Chris Hodges is me.
Right.
I'm the one in Britain, I think. But there might be two in Britain. I'm the one in Britain that sounds like me.
Not really prepared for this question, are you?
Absolutely not. No.
We should look it up. We should find out where people could go.
Yeah. By all means, you're on the internet, aren't you?
I'm using my computer. My computer's busy at the moment recording this podcast, so I can't really use it. But
don't do it now. I'll attach a link to something somewhere.
No, I want to say it. It doesn't matter. We can just work it out while we're on. We'll talk about something else while Julia's looking up.
Okay, can we
at
talk
28
about...
28 years old and a prolific writer-producer of many styles, Chris Hodges has had his music placed on.
Is that you?
No, fuck no.
Christopher Vinnie Hodges, wow.
I definitely wouldn't write that.
Is your middle name Vinnie?
Yes, it is. Christopher Vinnie Hodges.
Is it really?
No.
Okay.
It's a shame it's not.
Yeah.
What is your middle name?
No, because then people can pretty much identity fraud the shit out of me.
Okay, fair enough.
And I know what your listeners are like. They will do that.
Mine is John. But they don't know my surname, so I'm fine. Yeah. They probably do know my surname. It's not that hard to find out. Any luck?
That does not look like you.
Oh, maybe it's not even on there anymore. There may be nowhere on the internet you can find my music.
That's amazing. Fuck you, Mum.
Apart from the Book of Job, the musical.
You can listen to Chris singing the Book of Job, the musical, which is definitely available on corporate records and from our site and stuff, and on CDs and things.
So the link is for Christopher, soundcloud.com/Christopher Hodges, one word. Christopher with an H.
So get amongst it, pop
get
kids.
Amongst it. There's loads of tracks on there. Banging tunes.
We're supposed to say what's happening with us and our latest news and stuff, but seeing as this isn't going to be out for... Because we've got three we haven't released yet. This isn't out for weeks. I don't know what's going to be happening. Anything could be happening.
Yeah, anything could be
happening. This probably come out sort of late September, won't it? So, yeah. I don't know. How are you enjoying autumn, Julia?
When autumn leaves start to fall.
What happens?
Yeah. They start to fall. And then
what happens?
And then it goes dark. And then it is winter.
And there's that bit in sort of November when everything smells a bit musty, like you've let clothes out.
Leaf
too
mould.
Long.
Mm.
So we've got that to look forward to.
Yeah. Mm. Bad allergies.
Seasons. Anyway, so. Are we done with the podcast?
I think
for
we're
today?
Done for today. I do all have right. some more questions I can ask you.
Well, ask one more question, right. Chris, and then we'll end the podcast.
Do you want a short one or a long one?
Long one.
A long one, obvs. We'll talk about me.
Do you find people who disagree with you more compelling to be around than people who don't?
That's not the point. The point is how well they disagree with me. Loads of people disagree with me because I've got loads of opinions and I'm a bit of a dickhead.
What is your best opinion?
My best opinion?
Is he being picked up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to edit that out now.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's fine. Ah.
I had loads, but now you ask me, I've forgotten. I had that... No. Gone. No opinions.
Okay, I won't ask that question.
No, because if I'd gone to press trading like a proper person, I would have had an opinion.
Would you?
That I could money. Have trotted out. And...
Oh, I'm sure you've got loads of opinions. I've heard you saying opinions before.
Oh, I'm not into them. I'm not into them.
I'd drive you back places and argue with you about them.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
That's true. And then afterwards, I always feel a little bit like, oh, I'll probably never speak to Chris again.
Oh, no, that's my point. Is that, like, we disagree about an awful lot of stuff.
Awful lot of stuff.
But that's absolutely fine because you disagree well.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's the difference.
Yeah, when you get to people who just like, well, yeah, no, you're all entitled to your opinion. Like, no, your opinion's fucktarded. Yeah. So therefore you're not entitled to it. Shush.
Or explain to me why in a good way.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Speak more better words.
I think it's a shame that you get called an idiot rather than, you know...
That sounded like you just meant it's a shame that you...
No,
I did actually think that's what you meant. I thought, no, it is a shame.
You're a nice boy, you know. Don't
he's funny looking,
it.
He is, but he's, yeah.
Incidentally, I was going to ask you about that one thing that's always stayed in my mind, which is you singing in drag Glory Box by Portishead.
Oh, that's getting closer and closer to the time in my life where I can allow that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, because it has stayed in my mind. Like I've got the set in my mind. I've got the outfit in my mind. It's got pineapples on it.
No, you've got it wrong then. No, to be clear, the outfit is going to be purple sequins.
Definitely purple. Yeah.
But the way it's going to work, it's going to have like it's going to be a really lovely, pretty lady's dress, and it's going to have a really long train on it. But I'm going to be on a riser. But as the riser goes up, the dress just keeps going down like that.
Wow.
So I raise up from the stage.
And you raise up and you turn, presumably. Yeah, and then by the time you reach the front,
like that, it's just going to be so hot.
It's
going to
be amazing.
To be honest, my wife is. Unhealthily preoccupied with this. She has been for a decade now.
You are going to flip in love my drag show. It's going to be crackerjack.
Yeah.
You
want to get in with the gays in the Brighton. They'll get you sorted out.
Well, in all seriousness, because I quite wanted to do a drag show for a long time, but like as a heterosexual male, is that allowed?
Yeah.
That is.
Totally.
I think... But going back to the misogyny angle,
mm.
I've seen that brought up more in the last few years. The idea that it's like this mockery of women and how that's something that should be resisted. I've seen that more, that argument expressed. I don't think I agree with it, but I've seen that argument expressed more than I used to see it.
Yeah, but sometimes
I think with the kind of mainstreaming of like gay society, especially in Brighton, the fact that you get like conservative voting, just upright
straight
standard member of society gays. Not straight gays, but people who aren't like who weren't necessarily birthed in struggle and have kind of come of age in an era where it's been a lot less of a struggle than it had been. And they're now sort of so now that there's this kind of mainstream gay current in society that I think probably some feminists have started looking at the tradition of drag and sort of started criticising it on that basis. I don't think I agree with it, but I think what I'm saying is your window is probably open, but it is possibly closing.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
So well,
I think my drag show is going to change your mind.
Did I talk? Well,
I don't agree with that. I'm just saying that's possibly an argument that may achieve currency.
Fuck 'em.
Yeah.
I was. I don't
not
know if
the
I
best response to
mention this.
Just like,
fuck 'em. Yeah.
Well, just fuck 'em. That's the only way to do it. Just fuck 'em.
Oh lord, that's.
I don't know why I've
gone
Australian. It just seems like.
Fuck 'em.
Feminist coming here. Just fuck 'em. It's the only thing to do.
I've got massive problems, haven't I? Seriously.
No, I think you're all right.
Okay.
I think if you had massive problems, you wouldn't be wondering whether you have massive problems.
Mm.
You'd just be out misogynising.
In that toilet in Manchester.
In that toilet in Manchester. Yeah. You wrote that, didn't you?
I did it!
Just out to spoil Tony Wilson's reputation.
He was a lovely man apart from all the killing.
Yeah. Well, so it's true of so many.
Mm.
It's true. I think we should wrap up.
All right, then.
Yeah.
All right, stop. I can't really do the rapping.
Stop, collaborate, and listen.
Ice is back.
With a brand new invention.
Something. Goes to holding me tightly, flowing like a hawk. Daily and nightly, will it ever stop? No, I don't know. Turn up the lights, and I glow. To the extreme, I like a mic like a band.
Like a candle. Deadly.
And I play a dope melody.
Mm.
Dressed to the best, and the rest is a felony.
If there's a problem,
yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook when my DJ revolve it. Ice, baby.
That was a great rap, I reckon.
Gosh. Yeah, I think, to be honest, a lot of these black guys try, but they don't get up to the standard of vanilla. That's what I've always thought. That's our podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Goodbye from Julia.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Chris Hodges, whose SoundCloud address is?
Christopher Hodges.
SoundCloud.com. We're SoundCloud.com. Sorry. Oh, face. Yeah, goodbye from him. And it's goodbye from me as well, Simon Delicate. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Layers.